Welcome to the Soul Summit podcast. I'm your host, Courtney Preedy. I'm here to help bridge the gap for women and families in the outdoors, build a community of adventure junkies, and roll out your weekly dose of positive vibes. With almost two decades in the health and fitness world and an untamable passion for hunting in the outdoors, my mission is to help you live your bucket list life and move boldly in the direction of your dreams. Meet us here weekly as I connect with like-minded outdoor men and women to discuss health and mindset, accountability, life and entrepreneurship, as well as all things hunting and epic untold stories. The Soul Summit podcast is brought to you by Maven Optics, Baku E-Bikes, Hoyt Archery, Onyx Maps, and Sawyer Products. For more information on these companies or to access the Soul Summit podcast discount codes, be sure to check out our show notes. Hey friends, welcome to another episode of the Soul Summit podcast. And in today's bonus episode, we get to hear from our previous co-host Heidi Stout as she sits down with Chelsea Deary, a passionate hunter, conservationist, and outdoor enthusiast. Chelsea shares her joy into the hunting world, photography, videography, and podcast editing. She's a female hunter, and Chelsea discusses the unique challenges she faces, emphasizing the importance of preserving hunting traditions and heritage, drawing parallels between dedication required in both hunting and military service, which she's incredibly passionate about. Throughout their conversation, they dive deep into the critical role of conservation, stressing the need for active engagement and awareness of environmental issues and issues that are happening all over this country when it comes to our rights. Heidi and Chelsea also explore Chelsea's experiences in grizzly country as she grew up in Montana. They reflect on the significance of veterans and conservation, discussing ways to support these causes. Touching on the recent controversies with the wolf in Wyoming, they underscore the importance of accountability and authenticity. They share their personal experiences with PTSD and healing through nature, and they really highlight the power of vulnerability in building a supportive community. Chelsea offers contact information for further connections, reinforcing the bonds forged through shared passions and the great outdoors. Some of these resources are Wishes for Warriors, Howitzer Clothing, and Cryptek. Let's jump into this wonderful episode with Chelsea Deary and our lovely co-host, Heidi Stout.
All right. Welcome to the Soul Summit podcast. I am your host, Heidi Stout, and I am so honored and privileged today that I have the wonderful Chelsea Deary here with me today. Chelsea, thank you so much for joining me today.
Thanks for having me. I'm so excited and honored.
And I know we've talked before, and we've talked kind of about what you do. You are just this light on social media. And, you know, before I actually got to meet you, that's where I came across you. And you do like all these different amazing things besides like your passion for hunting and conservation. But you're this incredible photographer. So tell us a little bit kind of about, you know, what your passion is and what you do with your everyday.
Okay. This is always the hardest question to answer ever. And we've talked about that so many times, but yes. I am a mom and I have done photography for, over 10 years. And my biggest thing is using photography or being artistic or anything creative online to preserve hunting heritage and create ethical hunters and just to show the world the softer side of hunting and not just the, you know, the kill shot or anything. And I just love to do all things creative and I can't sit still. So it makes it easy for me to learn all things creative.
Yep. We have that same problem. And I think the one thing I love when I'm watching like all of your reels and looking at your pictures, like your passion like bleeds through the screen and it gets me all pumped for, you know, cause I have a lot of the same passions as you, when it comes to hunting and things like that. So, thank you for like giving me that inspiration like daily when I get to look at your page.
That's like the biggest compliment for me when people say that they feel inspired. There's been times where I'm like, I don't know, should I post that? And then I'm always like, you know what? I'm just going to post everything because I don't even care what if someone feels inspired or laughs or something, just one person, then it's fine. So then it's worth it. But yeah, that means so much to me. That's such a big compliment. Well, and you're the same way too. I see your stuff and I feel the same way. It's crazy. You watch social media, and I grew up not having like very many girlfriends at all. I was always hanging out with my dad or like with just anyone who would do outdoorsy stuff with me. And
yeah,
the women that I've met through social media are just, mm-hmm. It's amazing. Like the support and encouragement, mm-hmm. and just, it's incredible. So there's definitely a lot of women on there that I'm so honored to know. And you're definitely one of them.
Yep. I'd say the same about you. I feel like this group of women, like it's this almost like a trend now to be these women that are uplifting each other. Like, I feel like we're trying to change the dialogue a little bit as to, you know, what feeds through social media and, you know, how women can interact, because there is this stigmatism, you know, that we can't support each other. We don't like each other, you know, and it's this competition thing, but I don't feel that, you know, with this group of women. And I know, you know, some of who you're talking about, and I know there's other ones that I have, you know, yet to even meet that are doing the same thing.
Yeah. And I think a lot of women realize the power in unity and all of us being together, mm-hmm. and picking each other up, because life is hard and there's going to be moments where one of us is down and one of us is up. And if we focus on coming together when it comes to stuff like that, it's like an unstoppable force.
And I know you said you hung out with your dad a lot, didn't have a lot of girlfriends. And so your dad and like your grandfather, I believe, are the ones that got you into hunting. Is that correct?
Yeah. So I started hunting with my dad when I was 4. And I just remember always being in the woods with him. He was obsessed with glassing probably just as much as I am now. And those are some of my fondest memories, being in the mountains with my dad. And I think that's where a lot of my passion comes from, to preserve hunting heritage and protect our hunting rights, because I mean, it's part of who I am so deeply that I don't know what I would do without it.
And what are your, what are the animals that you mostly hunt?
So I grew up by Glacier Park, and up there, there's a lot of whitetail. So it was mostly whitetail deer, mule deer, and elk, which hunting elk up there is a lot harder than even hunting elk here. Now I see them a little bit more, but up there it's so thick and it's so steep, and it's always like you see something and it's going to see you before you see it. So you got to be really quick. And at least now I can practice long range here, but so it's mostly deer and elk. We did do some bear hunting, and then I get to bear hunt this year, possibly in Idaho, because I just got to go with Adeline, which her name on Instagram is the half-ass houndswoman. But she, mm-hmm. oh my gosh, she's amazing. And I'm learning more about hound hunting so that I can help protect. I mean, even that too, because there's so many different ways of hunting.
Yeah, absolutely. And I just came across her page through you, and I'm like, I got to know this girl. I want to learn more about her. And I don't know a lot about hound hunting either. And so I would definitely love to connect with her and learn about that, because I do see a lot going on, not just in Idaho, but, you know, across the states, the Western states, about, you know, hound hunting restrictions, you know, being pushed a little bit more.
Yeah, it's a big thing. I talked about that with her the other day when we went and ran her dogs. Predator hunting is such a touchy subject. It's so hard to discuss it, because there's a lot of emotion and a lot of passion that goes into it from both sides. And I ended up posting something about predator hunting, and the amount of comments that I got, but so many people were so willing to listen to the other side. And I think that's the most important part, is the ability to listen to learn and absorb knowledge instead of always fighting with ego. And she was like, if you can help educate people on hound hunting, that would be amazing, because there's just like any kind of hunting, there's so much negative stigma that goes with it. Mm-hmm. But
yeah, no, there is. And that's definitely, you know, there's nothing wrong with that, because I'm not going to agree with people on, you know, some things. But I think what's big for me is kind of like what you said, is keeping a doorway open that we can have just good dialogue and have a healthy conversation as to why we disagree, listen to each other's views. I see that so much on social media. It's just an attack on one way or the other. And to me, that doesn't do any side any good if we can't actually engage in a conversation about the changes that may need to happen.
Mm-hmm. I have a lot of people on my page that they're wildlife photographers, because I love wildlife photography, and they don't agree with hunting, or they don't hunt themselves, but we still support each other because I've been able to talk to them and say, like, I'm respectful of nature and I love nature and everything. And they've been able to see the softer side of hunting and not just the killing part of hunting. And it's kind of beautiful when you can take two separate mindsets and just come together, because we all want the same thing. We all want to conserve wildlife and protect habitats and all of that. So it's pretty cool when you can bridge that gap with just a willingness to listen.
When you're, you know, going out for your hunts, because I know you hunt, you know, heavily in grizzly country and things like that, like, what kind of things do you do to prepare for your hunts?
Oh man, this year I'm preparing so much for archery, just archery elk season, because I have hunted with my bow for 15 years and I still have not shot a bull with my bow, because I'm the caller all the time and I always get in the zone. So that's how it ends up going, is I just call for people. But I think the most important thing when you're preparing for a hunt is to make sure you're efficient with your weapon. Know your effective range. That's so important when it comes to rifle. I grew up, like, my dad's very old school, and we would go make sure the rifles were sighted in before season, and that's just the way he did it when he was a kid, and that's the way I did it. And now we practice long range all throughout the year, and I know exactly how far out I'm effective. I know, you know, how capable my rifle is. That, and making sure that your gear is all together, which I'm horrible about, because I can be a little bit chaotic sometimes. So, like, it'll come close to hunting season and my husband's always like, okay, do we have everything? Is everything together? Because he works out of state, so he's gone, and usually he comes back right before hunting season.
Right.
It's my responsibility to make sure everything's together, but I think just making sure that you are in good enough physical condition that you can retrieve an animal and get it out, that you have your equipment ready, that you know what you're going to do when you do get an animal. That's right. Another thing I think people don't think about a lot, but there's a lot. I mostly have just been trying to get stronger, because elk, I don't know how many people have watched an elk run up a mountain, but I definitely can't run up a mountain that fast. So I'm like, if I could just get a little bit faster, a little bit better,
right?
Maybe I'll keep up with them or stand a chance.
Good luck. If you figure that out, let me know.
Right? I know. It's crazy, because we actually have such a huge disadvantage as being human when it comes to hunting, and we have tools and everything, but I mean, we get cold faster, we get hungry faster, we can't run up a mountain. We're not built like they are. So it takes a lot of preparation, I think.
And so you've been out for 15 years with your bow and you've yet to kill a bull. And I can understand, you know, usually being the caller, but like, that's a long time. Like, what inspires you to kind of keep going, to know, like, hey, like, I really want to go after this, instead of like, you know, 'cause we live in an age where it's, the easy way. Like if I can't have it tomorrow, like I think I'm good. So like what keeps you going after that goal? Cause that's, you know, impressive.
I think for me, I love it so much that it's not even, I'm to the point now where I don't care if I fail my takes at all. Like I'm more than happy to go with people and just be there and experience everything and be a part of it. And I think for me this year, I just wanted to push myself. I think being a mom, when you become a mom, you kind of lose your identity a little bit, at least, where, you know, you're a mom and you're taking care of everybody. Mm-hmm. And this year was kind of my year that I was like, I'm going to prove to myself that I can do this, even if I do it by myself or if I do it with a friend. Like I want to accomplish this more than anything. Mm-hmm. And I think it's just, I just love being out there. I just want to be part of it. And that's all that matters to me. But it's also like, we're in an area where the elk population is really low. So people probably hear me say that are in an area where it's really easy to get into elk. And they're like, how the heck have you not killed a bull yet in 15 years? But it's crazy. In some areas that we hunt, the elk don't talk and you have to like use different methods, like cutting them off and knowing where they like to bed and all of that. Yep. And that's kind of another thing I've been doing to prepare is watching elk a lot. Just from the end of season last year, all summer, I'm planning on watching them. And so if it doesn't happen this year, I'm going to keep trying because I just want to so bad. I think it'd be so amazing.
I am in the same boat. I mean, I haven't done 15 years, but like, I want it so bad. I mean, I'm happy to take my bow for a walk, but I have the same constraints. Like, it really is hard work when you're in a low populated area or they're not talking and things like that. It's different than sometimes what you see on social media, you know, with these huge bulls that people get, you know, but you got to put in the work and it's, I know it's going to be beyond rewarding. I mean, even what I've learned is rewarding. So like, I totally understand where you're coming from with that.
Yeah. And you can totally do it. I know you can. And it's, I think that's the beautiful thing about being someone who hunts public land and hunts in an area that's really steep and really thick and the elk hang out in spots that you're like, I'll glass elk from miles away and be like, that looks really fun to go up there because it's steep. Yeah. There's downfall. Like I know when I was pregnant with my son and I missed a really nice bull and we went up, there was, I mean, huge downfall that we were like climbing up and over. And if I would have fallen, it would have been like falling a hole underneath all these trees. And elk love areas that no one wants to go. And I think that's, it's just, a challenge that if you can accomplish that, elk are so adaptable and just incredible creatures. And if you can accomplish that, then you can do anything.
One thing I always see on your page, well, two things I always see on your page, besides the animals, is a lot of talk about conservation and a lot of talk about veterans. Whichever one you want to start with first, like why are those two things so important to you?
It's part of my core. I have just like very solid core values that I will talk about until I'm blue in the face. And let's start with veterans. My grandfather and great-grandfather were both veterans. And I just have a lot of respect. I never served. And I've had people ask me if I'm a veteran because I talk about businesses or nonprofits that support veterans so much. Right. But I have so much respect for people who are willing to sacrifice everything for people they've never met. And the amount of dedication and work that goes into something like that is just, it's all the values that my dad instilled in me as a kid. So I see all of that and it's just, I just respect veterans a lot.
It is. It's a huge sacrifice. And I know I've shared on my page, you know, about my grandfather's were, and, you know, a man sacrificed his life to save my grandfather's life. And so that's why it's so incredibly important to me, because I feel like I have this duty for what he sacrificed to kind of, you know, make an impact in the world. You know, I feel like there, you know, there was a purpose for that, and there's a purpose for each of us. And there's people out there that don't know us that are just every day sacrificing their life for us. And it's just, you know, when you really think about it, it's just very impactful and profound, and just so moving as to what they do. And I don't feel like we do enough for them.
Yeah. And it, I think a lot of it too is, as a mom, I know what it feels like to sacrifice and to mm-hmm. raise someone and make sure that they're happy. And I think another big part of it is my dad and my grandfather are the most humble, would give the shirt off their back and do anything for anyone type of men. And so to me, it just all encompasses the whole having strong core values and making sure that you have this fundamental respect for everyone around you. And yeah, it's just a really big part of me. And that's why I talk about Howitzer, which is the shirt that mm-hmm. I'm wearing, but they're a brand I talk about a lot because they raise so much money and they help mm-hmm. support Wishes for Warriors. And yep. those are all just organizations that it's just people moving through this world with passion and yep. doing things that mean so much to them without asking for anything in return.
That's the other things too I see on social media. I think, you know, as heavy and dark as the world can be, I think people crave a little more of that purpose and giving back and, you know, a little more light in the world. Like, I think people are just hungry for it, if that makes sense.
Totally. And that's my biggest thing. Anytime a brand or anyone has reached out to me, I ask them, what is your why? Why did you start your brand? Why did you start your company? And it's so, I'm a people person. I love people. I mean, I say I love people, but I love being in the woods away from people a lot. But I love learning where people's passions come from, like, and meeting yeah. people that just, they just beam light and they just have purpose and passion and they're just on fire for whatever it is that they love. And I just love that. So it's mm-hmm. really cool, the amount of people that you can meet on social media that they bring so much light into this world. And you're one of them. Yeah. Like, just the people that make you feel inspired and good. There's so yeah. many, and it's so amazing.
It truly is a blessing. I could say the same about you. And those are great organizations that do a lot of good. When it comes to conservation, you know, where did that necessarily come from? And, like, you know, why are you so passionate about it? I understand why, but, you know, maybe help other people understand why.
I mean, obviously growing up hunting, it's so important to me to conserve the resources that we use and that we have. But also, I graduated from a program called the Master Hunter Program in Montana in, I think it was 2020. And through that program, they talked about, like, the history of conservation and hunting ethics and hunter-landowner relationships and all of that. And it almost just ignited something inside of me that I was like, this is so cool, sitting in a classroom with, mm-hmm. you know, 30 people that are on fire for this and being able to bridge the gap between, there's the generation that grew up knowing conservation and all of that kind of stuff. And then there's this social media generation that, you know, it's sad, but it's almost made it to where it's like, you want to, it's like clout on social media when it comes to hunting sometimes. And mm-hmm. people don't talk about conservation as much as, like, look at this trophy buck that I got, or look at this trophy bull. And it's amazing to see that kind of stuff. But there's a big gap between, you know, looking cool when you're hunting and talking about conservation. And I think for me, I just was like, I love this so much. And I know that my grandfather would be like proud of me talking about it. And my dad is proud of it. He tells me all the time. And bridging that gap to me is just so important. So it, all the conservation stuff is like, I'll volunteer for things. I transport wounded birds of prey because I love birds because I think they're amazing, but it's all just stuff that I don't know what I'd do if I didn't have it.
No. And I think that's like, and I did not grow up hunting. So like that whole concept, like, yeah, I want to protect the animals and our land and things like that. I've never, you know, felt that that was like a bad thing or that that shouldn't be done. But it gives you a whole different respect when you start hunting and how important it is to protect it, that if it was taken away from us, what we would actually lose. And, you know, the hunting community does more for conservation, for saving land, for saving animals than any other group out there, which, you know, I feel like there is getting a little more talk about that, but there definitely isn't enough.
I don't think there will ever be enough talk about it. And that it's true, though. It's I talk to a lot of anti-hunters because I do social media. I get a lot of messages from people saying sometimes it's just really horrible things that I don't respond to. But other times there's people who have solid arguments when it comes to hunting and hunting not being all of conservation, it being a part of it or a tool. And and I have to say to them, like, I totally agree that it's just a little piece of this huge puzzle that we need to be focused on. And it just, I don't think it'll ever be talked about enough. And in any chance I get, I'll talk about it. And everyone knows that. Don't bring up birds, elk, or conservation to Chelsea because she won't stop talking.
I'm fine with that.
I mean, see, that this is why we get along so well, because we can talk about the same things for so long and love all the same things. So I think there's a big need for it, and I think that there's a lot of opportunity for hunters to volunteer. I mean, I volunteered to transport the birds, so I'm using my fuel, I'm risking my life sometimes, and like I drive the birds like 45 minutes all the way to the rehab facility because they're so busy and their time needs to be focused on all the birds. So they don't need all this time driving. And there's a lot of opportunity to volunteer for things or to reach out and say, hey, how can I learn, or how can I talk about it, or how can I bring light to this? And It's pretty cool. That's the cool thing about social media, is you have this reach that you wouldn't have without it.
What are some ways that people can maybe get involved in conservation? I don't know if people are going to want to go out and grab big, large birds like you do. But where would one start?
I think conservation can either be as complicated as you want it to be, or it can be as simple as you want it to be. Like, to me, if you're out in the woods, I always have a garbage bag in my truck. And if I'm out in the woods and I see trash, I always stop and I pick up the trash, and I get annoyed when I do it because I'm like, really, people, it's so beautiful. Why would you do this? But it can be as simple as just picking up trash and making sure that the habitat that you are exploring is good for animals, like not chasing them off at the end of winter when you're hiking, just being respectful to Mother Nature. Or it can be as complicated as studying bills and seeing when they're going to pass and going to Helena or wherever, you know, wherever everything happens in the state that you're in, and speaking on behalf of the sportsman or the sportswoman. And there's so many things that we can do. I know that like they're always looking for hunter's ed instructors, and that's another volunteer thing. It's kind of all about prioritizing, okay, how can I help or how can I be better? I mean, another part of it is preserving our right to hunt and
Yeah.
Because without hunting, there's going to be a lot of funds that aren't going towards conservation. And in talking about it on social media in a way that isn't hurting hunters.
Yeah.
That's the hardest part, I think.
Yeah. And I think too, like all of those things, as well as, you know, like howl.org or, you know, Dan Gates with, you know, you can go to the Save the Hunt, you know, Colorado.com and like you can donate or you can just share the information. It's so easy to hit a share button on social media. Everybody has it. And just that education, I think if that's all you can do, that's better than, you know, nothing. You know, you can definitely always do more, but I'd rather somebody do even something minimal than, you know, kind of sit back and expect other people to take care of their rights for them, which, you know, happens so much. You know, when it comes to social media and stuff, like what do you feel like is some of the misconceptions? I mean, like you said, you've gotten a lot of messages and things like that. Like, what are the biggest misconceptions or like, what are things that our hunters are doing that are not really serving us well on social media right now?
Oh man. And right now is like the best time to ask that because there's that whole thing that happened in Wyoming that has been so huge. And I'm so glad that I get to like say it because I've been thinking about how I'm like, how can I make a video to talk about this? People, hunters who disrespect wildlife are not hunters. They absolutely do not hold a place to me as a hunter. It's disgusting. And I don't respect anyone who disrespects wildlife.
Right.
I think as a hunter, it's also our responsibility to make sure that we are following the laws that are in our state, that we, you know, are being respectful, that we are efficient and that we are ethical. And social media has created this like drive in people to show off. And it's almost created this like, well, if it's, you know, if I just push the boundaries a little bit, I could get this giant buck and then people think it's cool and then it'll go viral and then I'll get paid to hunt as a career. And to me, it's just like, then we're going to get our hunting rights taken away because every single hunter that I know or that I associate with or that I've met cares so much about wildlife and the environment and everything. That I think that's the hardest thing is like the case in Wyoming of, you know, the guy just, it's so, I cried when I saw the video and read the article. I literally sobbed because seeing that photo is as negative as people feel towards wolves or whatever it is. Any hunter I know would not do that. It's just not. So people are doing stuff like that. And as a hunter, if you're not being careful about what you're doing, that gets put on the internet. And then that's fuel for the fire that anti-hunters have. And they say it just, it ruins it for everyone.
Right. I feel it's been really good though. I've seen different companies and people in the hunting community though saying this is not okay. We do not back this. We do not support this type of behavior. And you know, for anyone that doesn't know, you know, that what happened, you know, a man got a wolf pup and pretty much tortured it and took it around and showed it off. I mean, I guess that's the Cliff Note version of what he did, but I have been proud to see, you know, people stepping up saying this isn't okay and there needs to be some kind of justice and this needs to be more than a small fine. I will say this man's reputation is probably changing very rapidly and you cannot put a price on that. But that kind of consequence is just really disheartening as to how that was handled.
I love how the hunting community has come together and been like, this is not an example of hunters. This is not what we do. This will not represent hunters as a whole. Like, we do not agree with this and it's disgusting. And I think it's been so cool to see the unity in the hunting community going against this and being like, this is not an example of what we are.
Because it is very easy to put that label on a person to associate them with something negative with the group because, you know, there is already so much. But really, you know, this is a person that did a horrible thing, regardless, you know, they don't have to be associated with anything. It's their actions that need to be the light of, you know, the articles and things like that. Not that he's a hunter or anything like that. Cause yeah, he's, yeah. That's not hunting. We don't grab animals and torture them. You and I followed each other on social media a little bit. And then, just going to take a little turn. We met at the Hunt Expo, kind of through a new friend of ours that we got to actually run into each other, because I think you were hiding out somewhere at the expo and hunted you down.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, I don't do that great in big crowded areas. I have PTSD and I was by the big pile of antlers, and I still remember someone from the Wishes for Warriors booth coming up, finding me and being like, this girl, she's looking for you. And she keeps saying, where's Chelsea? Cause I know she keeps coming to the Wishes for Warriors booth. And then Kirsten comes up to me and she's like, I have been looking for you. And I was like, I'm just hiding. And I'm so, so happy that she did though, because I do that sometimes where I'm like, okay, I really wish I was in the woods talking to animals mm-hmm. right now, but like I'm surrounded by all these people. And she pulled me over there and I got to meet you and her. And leaving the expo, I remember sobbing on the way home and being like, this is so amazing and I'm so excited. But yeah, I'm so grateful for her outgoing, bubbly self, because I needed that. I need people like that.
Yeah, I adore her. I was so excited to spend a couple of days with her. But yeah, she was like on a hunt for you, and which was good because I was like, I don't know where she's at. Like, we were so excited to actually meet you and connect with you. And I think you two had talked a little bit more than you and I had, but I feel like immediately you and I started talking about some like pretty deep stuff, like almost, you know, right off the back.
Yeah.
And then I think it just kind of transpired from there. There was a lot going on with all the people and things like that. But do we want to?
I remember the first thing you said to me was, are you okay? And at first I was like caught off guard, because people aren't that attentive to what other people are feeling. And I'm usually the one that's always like, are you fine? Like, should we go over here? Yeah. Or like just really paying attention to people's emotions and stuff. But that mm-hmm. was the first thing you said to me. And I remember being caught off guard and then thinking, oh my gosh, we're going to get along really well, because I don't know that many people that would do that. And because I remember saying to you, or being like, what do you mean? You're like, you know,
well, I remember you telling me that you don't like the crowds and like it was going to be overwhelming for you. Mm-hmm. And so I just want to make sure, like, I get those situations that kind of can be a little bit of a trigger for you. So I was like, all right, well, make sure you're doing okay. Like, if I need to kidnap you somewhere quiet, like, we can do that.
Oh, I know. As soon as you said that and I like realized what you were talking about, I was like, oh, I love her so much. This is going to be so great. Like, and that's just like when we talked about Total Archery Challenge and, mm-hmm. you know, going there and then all staying together. And I'm very like, I have to have like recharge time and whatever. And I remember saying that to you and you being like, no, it's totally fine. Like, if you need to hide out, you can and stuff. And I'm like, I feel so safe in this group. And that's something that I haven't known, you know, around people. So it's beautiful and it's amazing. And I'm just so happy that I got to know you guys.
No, well, we're so grateful for you. And I definitely am really looking forward to the Total Archery Challenge. It's going to be a lot of fun for us. Good group of women that we have, you know, going together and staying together. And I think like the one thing I got like from the expo and like our conversation is like this group of women, it's not like, hey, like we have fun, but it's not like, hey, like let's party and, you know, do all these things. It's really just about like, let's have healthy dialogue about our goals and our dreams and, you know, things we've gone through and, you know, what's working and how can I support you? Like, I feel like it's just a total different kind of like uplifting time as opposed to, you know, the latter a little bit?
You know, it doesn't matter if we like wear eyelashes and are all glammed up and stuff. It's not this like fake kind of,
yeah,
you know, put on a mask and be around all these women and be like, oh yeah, I'm perfectly fine and everything. It's like, we're all just like, all right, we're going to let all the emotions, we're going to be our truest selves around each other. And I just think it's so beautiful when you meet people that, like when I met Adeline and we spent the day just driving around in the mountains, it was like, I'm like, this is so amazing because there's no fakeness and there's no, I'm a very blunt, black and white, I'm very transparent. And you've seen that on my page. I'm let it all. I can't hide anything. I can't lie or anything, but that's been the coolest part is just.
Yeah. Finding people that are authentic, right? They're their true self. And then finding people that are going to one, accept you for who you are, but then also like, you know, people that are going to like kind of be straight with you and like, hey, like maybe that's, maybe approach it like this, or you're not thinking about yourself the right way. Or, and that's what I want. I don't want people that are going to sugarcoat things for me and, you know, that are going to keep me real, but then keep me on track for the things that I want to do in my life too. And I feel like this is that, you know, community that we have around us, which is just, it's mind blowing in a lot of ways, but it can be life changing.
Mm-hmm. I think that's the other really beautiful thing about everyone that I've met, like you guys and this whole group that, you know, we get to go do TAC and everything, is that no one is driven by their ego. And that's the most beautiful thing. Cause I think also as a hunter, like being a woman in the outdoor community is hard. Cause I have met a lot of people that are driven by their ego and it turns into me being treated like I don't know what I'm talking about because I'm a woman. And I wasn't raised like that. I was raised with my dad being like, hey, we're going to learn how to weld today and you're going to do this and you're going to ride dirt bikes and you're going to do all these things that boys would normally do. And so when I came into the hunting community, it was like, I had this mentality that it doesn't matter if you're a man or a woman, you know, you're a hunter and no one's better than anyone and knowledge is power. And so that's the great thing about this group is everyone I've met, they're not driven by ego. So if someone was to come up to them and be like, hey, like, what if you try it like this? Or no, don't post that or something. We're not going to be like, oh, what? Everyone's so willing to listen and learn and grow. And it's, I think that's how you become a better hunter and a better person in life is just put your ego aside.
I totally get what you're saying about being, I think being a woman and then for me too, being a new hunter, like it's really hard because you have to, you definitely have to put in the work to prove, you know, that you're in a place that you belong. Cause that's almost how it's viewed. You know, but I will say there are quite a few men, there's both sides, but there are quite a few men that will embrace helping and learning and don't look down upon you because you're a woman. And that is a good thing. I think there's still a lot of work to do, but it is a good sign to still see that there is some of that shifting.
Oh yeah, totally. And there's so many people, so many men that are so supportive of a woman being in the outdoor industry. And they love seeing the fact that there's women out there genuinely wanting to learn and not just, you know, like not just wanting to do it for social media, that they would do it whether there was social media or not. And it's sad when you do come across people or men who, you know, it's, and I hate saying that. I hate saying men and women and that divide, but I mean, I had to learn through experience that sometimes there is that divide and you just have to be like, well, I guess I'm not going to hunt with them again. Cause that wasn't fun. I don't like not being listened to at all.
You can't, you know, lose any sleep over the people that are going to be like that. That's, you know, on them. And there's something in them that, you know, they feel they need to treat people like that. I think one thing too, that we've connected on, is just really, you know, I know you mentioned your PTSD, and I know we've talked a lot about mental health. We've both gone through our various forms of trauma that have definitely had a huge impact on our lives. And I think a lot of ways the outdoors has saved both of us. It is definitely one piece. Mm-hmm. You know, what does the outdoors really do for you when it comes to your mental health?
Oh, it's everything. I think, especially when I'm really struggling or really struggling with remembering my self-worth or anything, mm-hmm. anything that's hard, the second I go into the mountains, and we're in Western Montana, so it's like giant mountains for, yeah. you know, thousands of acres of public land. And I'll go and sit on top of the mountain or, you know, whatever it is. And it reminds me how small I am and how small my problems are compared to how vast the wilderness is. I don't know. It's so hard to explain. Yeah. It's almost like we get so caught up in being busy and scrolling on yeah. social media and having our minds be entertained constantly. And I think that's the only real downfall of social media and doing social media stuff, is that you get in this loop of comparison and scrolling and constantly needing to be entertained or having something happening in front of you, that when you go into the mountains and you sit in quiet and you just mm-hmm. sit with your thoughts, it's such a beautiful thing. And as human beings, I think we need that, because we need to be able to process and feel peace. The world is not built for peace. It's not.
No. Yeah. And we've talked about that. Like it's this huge, you're outdoors and you really are just this tiny person. And there's just a whole big world that's out there beyond your problems. That, you know, but there's also like this presence of healing, just taking in the fresh air and the calming that it does to your mind. It's, you know, in some ways a distraction, but some ways it's just these healing, properties that, you know, kind of take over you, I feel like.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it's also an opportunity to push yourself and go from being like, oh my gosh, I had the worst week and all these bad things happened and everything. But then if you go, even if you just go for a walk out in the woods, like there's so much mm-hmm. to look at and there's so much to do. I know that, I mean, I grew up in grizzly country. I grew up and it's way thicker and crazier up there than it is where I am now.
Yeah.
And I grew up with my dad being like, hey, you can do anything even though you're a girl, but I never hiked by myself because I was always too afraid. This year's the first year I've gone miles by myself, and it's mm-hmm. being out in the wilderness by yourself and just being like, you know what? I'm not afraid. I'm not afraid of anything. You go back to society and you're like, I'm not scared. I'm not scared of what can happen, because I just climbed that mountain and I know for a fact there's a bear up there. I've seen it.
Yeah.
And the possibilities are endless when you're in the woods as far as making you feel good. And plus we need fresh air.
What are the ways, like, you know, having PTSD, because I have it as well. Like, are there like ways that you can recognize that you know, it's coming on, or, you know, what you need to do to kind of steer yourself in the right direction? I think that's like one thing I've learned, like with mental health stuff that comes up, is recognizing those triggers or those things that are coming on and how to divert them so you can take back the control instead of letting it control you.
A lot of years, for a long time, I lived in the victim mindset, where I was always like, I can't believe these things happened to me. This isn't fair. Why was I put in this position? And for me, sometimes I'm blindsided by my symptoms, or I'll trigger it that I didn't even realize was a trigger. And then you're in this like spiral of, it's the world is heavy and it's closing in on you and nothing feels right and your body's freaking out. And I think for me, what I have found is the best thing is to just remember that, okay, all these triggers are happening, right? And it's bringing back every single emotion, like I'm in it again.
Right.
And to remember that what happened when I was in it, I survived. I survived, and I'm here now, and I have a voice. And people are inspired by example. And for me, it's always been like, well, not always been. For a long time, it was me being like, I can't believe this happened, or I can't believe, you know, I went through that. And now it's like, it's a powerful thing because it's given me the ability to feel something so deep and so horrible that now I understand it, and I understand what it's like to navigate through that. And I can take someone who's maybe gone through the same thing and hasn't found that light yet and be like, hey,
right,
like I went through this too, and you're not alone in it. You do get out of it, and it's not, it'll always be there in the back, but it's not who you are, and it is not your identity.
There's something to be said for taking this horrible story and this trauma and using it to help others and really taking it for a purpose. Like, as hard as it was to think that something bad has happened to yourself, you know, maybe the reason was to save someone else or help someone else survive through it. And it really kind of gives you this empowerment for your future and for how you choose to live your life going forward.
Yeah. And I mean, after, I think when I was really young, I started studying psychology because I wanted to understand people and why they do the things that they do. And the one thing that I always think about when it starts to affect my present life, what happened in the past, I always remember that, you know, if you have trauma that was caused by the hand of another person, most times it doesn't affect their life today. They probably did it to multiple people. I don't know what they're doing now, but most times what's affecting you and bringing you down is not something that's bringing the person who hurt you in the first place down, you know? And just thinking about that and being like, why am I allowing this to create problems in my present life when, I mean, it wasn't even my fault and I couldn't control that it happened, but it did. And my life now is so precious to me that it has no place being here. And I think that's the only thing that's helped me is being able to be like, it's not my identity. And it's not who I am. And yes, I'm going to struggle more because of it, but that just makes me stronger. And it just makes the reward of being able to live life still more beautiful.
And I love hearing that. And, you know, when I know people have, you know, fought those battles and, you know, I can connect with that, you know, at any point, it's building that community where you can say like, hey, I'm having a bad day, or, hey, you know, I'm going through this, and knowing some people that can really push you. Cause there is a little bit, sometimes you got to be alone and sometimes you got to work through it on your own. But I've learned turning to the right people can actually help too, when I felt like it was something I had to do alone or I couldn't talk about it. But it actually can lift you up and turn a day around too, by, you know, knowing you have people that are in your corner that will say, hey, you're going to be okay. We're going to get through this, and I'll do anything to help.
Exactly. Well, in talking about it and not keeping it in is another big thing. Being able to, I isolate myself a lot, way more than I should. And I do that where I need to work through things, but it's so powerful to go to someone that's experienced it and then be like, you know what? Like, even if you get into the pits again and you're just like in that darkness, I'm going to be here and we'll get through it together. It's so huge.
It is huge. And I appreciate you sharing that. I know, you know, for both of us, it is a emotional and difficult thing. It's a very vulnerable thing to share that. And I appreciate, you know, you sharing this, you know, with us today. It's really important, I think, for both of our own healings, but then I think for people that may be going through it and not knowing what to do.
One, you are planning on building something off of your trauma. And to me, that is the bravest thing that someone can do, to be so open about this is my story and this is what happened. And that to me shows that you have grown so much and gotten through that, that you're using it as a tool, and it's so brave, and it's going to do so many great things for people. And I think that's, it's the biggest thing to be able to say, you know what? Yeah, I'm vulnerable and I'm transparent and this happened and I'm going to help people through it. And that's like the biggest, I can't say a bad word on here, but that's like the biggest, what would I say? slap in the face to someone who's going to hurt someone else is when they see that you took that and you use it as a building block or a ladder to stand on and be like, guess what? Now I'm going to talk about it and I'm going to tell everybody and I'm going to bring people together and I'm going to heal people.
Yeah.
And that's beautiful. Yeah.
It is really cool, but it's also it's another vulnerable thing. And it's scary because I think, you know, regardless of what's happened to you, you kind of like, you know, who wants to hear my story or who, you know, who cares, you know? So you get this negative self-talk and you have to push through that. And there's definitely been roadblocks and times where I freeze and I can't move forward. And, you know, you have to work through those things that, say that, though, this is the right path and there can be good that can come from it. And that has to do with the community that you have around you too, that says, no, you got this and you can do it. And I mean, I had that, you know, I was just on a trip, and had a lot of conversations about that, you know, with my friend, and he really kind of breathed some life into me. And ever since then, like it's inspired me again and helped me push through some of the roadblocks I've been having lately.
It's the same as hunting. I mean, life is going to be ever changing. There's always going to be roadblocks. There's always going to be times when you're like, oh my gosh, I don't want to climb all the way up this mountain, or you climb all the way up the mountain and you don't see anything. And I mean, it's, you just have to push through it and adapt and overcome, and you survived. And so, and there's a reason for that. I fully believe that no matter how horrible, whatever it is that happens to anyone, you survived for a reason. And That's because you have a purpose, and everyone's lucky to have you here.
Absolutely. So where can people find you if they want to connect with you? What are the best ways?
If people want to get in touch with me, it's ivory.outdoors. And I'm always, I try my best to respond to all of the messages and listen to people with intention. And so if anyone wants to get a hold of me there, then ask me anything. And like, if they want to see how they can volunteer for conservation, even if they're in another state, I'll do the research. I'll find somewhere. So
yeah,
any of
that. I love that. You will do anything to help anyone. And you are such an encouragement. I've already said that. And I appreciate you taking the time today to tell your story. And you know, we've got fun things coming in the future, and I feel like this is just the beginning. So thank you so much, Chelsea.
Once again, thank you for tuning into the show. We hope that your cup is full and you're ready to embrace your untamable vibe. If you enjoyed the show, could you do us a favor? Help us grow our audience by sharing your favorite episode on social media, sending the episode to a friend, and leaving us a review online. We love to hear from you. One more thing, be sure to press that subscribe button and never miss a weekly episode. See you next week.